I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
So last episode, we introduced the idea of therapeutic time travel when we explored what message we would want to send back in time to our younger selves. And today, I want us to keep exploring this idea by searching for the messages that our future selves are trying to give us. So I'll preface this by saying that I love working with the future self, and I find it to be a really effective therapeutic tool. A big reason that I feel that this can support us is that it allows us to claim things that we're just starting to sense within ourselves. We don't have to be all the way there. We don't have to be ready to say that we know something. We don't have to be fully confident in it yet or fully embody it. But if we have some kind of inkling or hunch or intuition about something, this is a practice that can really help us bring that more fully into being now. And before I ask you, Nick, the official question of the episode, I'm wondering if the future self is a concept that you've engaged with before or a part of you that you felt in touch with before we started talking about this?
No, I don't think so. I think when I was younger, I was focused on the future self, but in adulthood now, no. It's really intriguing the sort of preamble that you just gave about how you don't have to fully embody the thing, but it's something you're just maybe beginning to grasp or become aware of or whatever. Because that's something that I haven't really thought of in an intentional way. I think I have in many other maybe roundabout journal entries or like therapy that I've been doing to date, but not with that intention. So I find this really fascinating.
Awesome. Okay, so it's brand new. That's very on theme, on point for this future self discussion. Now I'll ask you the official question, which is, what would your future self want you to know?
Yeah. Probably. Okay, so can I give my own preamble to answering this question? Okay. So when you told me that this was the question that we were going to be talking about and discussing, I was like, I have no fucking idea. Like I was just like, I don't fucking know. Like I said, I thumbsed up the thing that you sent me because I knew
you hearted it actually.
I hearted it. Sorry, my bad. I forgot my reaction via instant messenger.
No, I just mean it was like what you're telling me now is so out of step with
all right.
What you
all right, Lala.
Reacted
so
at the time.
Verbatim. She's very literal. But I struggled, I think, to like really understand and orient myself to the question. And then I had to get into the mindset or I guess frame in my brain of how and who, like, what do I want to be like? Like, who do I want to be in 10 years? Or what will be really important lesson wise that I've learned or grasped in 10 years. And that was helpful. And so then I was like, if I was looking back at myself, like looking back at my 30th year or, you know, when I was 22 or, and as you know, and I've talked about so often on the podcast, the number of journals that I've had over the years and like efforts that I've taken to really just document my own experiences, not for any other purpose, but just to keep myself like alive, truly. I could say with full confidence that future me would want me right now and younger me to know that you're already doing it. You're already becoming it. it's already happening. You're already on the way. It's not like you're not paving the foundation. As you live and breathe, you know, 13-year-old Nick, 14-year-old Nick, it is happening now. Because I can look back right now and see that even at those younger ages, I was already me. Like, I was already, kind of going back to what we talked about last time, worthy. Mm-hmm. I was right, like I said. I was right, man. Mm-hmm. And in process. Like, I think I thought that, oh, I'm going to need to wait to become something. I need to, you know, when I'm this age or at this point in my life, it's going to feel this way and I'm going to be that thing. It's just so fascinating to look back and be like, you were doing it. You were becoming the thing that you thought was insignificant. It was very significant. Or what did I say last time? I don't remember the last
episode.
It's
quenchal.
Yes. That's quenchal. You're not inconsequential. You're quenchal. So yeah, that is it in a nutshell.
That's so beautiful. And then what do you feel when you realize that, when you say it, what does that feel like for you?
I mean, it's deeply affirming. I think it's also validating of where I am now, the work that I put in, and the work that I'm not even conscious of. Because I think that there's something really weird, this paradigm or construct of like, are you doing the work? Are you working on yourself? And it's like, okay, but maybe it's not always like reading Audre Lorde and, you know, taking a Marxist feminist class, you know. It's just, maybe it was like in my ability to spend a Sunday enjoying my day and not feeling guilty that I'm not doing something that I'm like, I realized that this past Sunday. I was like, damn, look at me, shame free on a Sunday, you know, being hungover and not feeling guilty about it or whatever. You know, it's like those moments of insight and those moments of learning help me just put into context, I guess, that all of this supposed growth that I'm like striving towards in a real like intentional way is important. And also some of these like little, quote unquote, like little lessons that I'm a little epiphanies, like little shifts, little or big questions that I've asked myself or really spent time processing without therapy, just in my own 17-year-old brain, that those meant something. They weren't just like, ah, fuck it, you know? So it feels, yeah, affirming mostly.
Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, those moments, like your guilt-free Sunday, that's you embodying all of the things that you talk about and read about. Like, how many podcast episodes have we done? How many BIPOC of the week where we're really exploring that in every way? And so to actually live it and embody it, it's like, that's what we've been doing all of this for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a strange, I'm still really struck by what you said at the beginning of like, you might be on the cusp of learning that, you might be on. So like right now where I'm at, mm-hmm. thinking, this question is so helpful. Sorry, I'm starting many sentences, but I'm trying to say like where I'm at right now. And given the ways that I sometimes still feel like, oh, I need to be making these big decisions, or, you know, I think I have this expectation that so much of my growth is going to be like obvious, big, and it's going to come from other people. And it's going to come from like external validation, and it's going to come from like some kind of recognition beyond like me seeing myself doing those things. Mm-hmm. It just kind of helps me like stay in the pocket, not get out of the pocket, just in the pocket. And I think there's something really liberating about that, that it's not actually about like all the grand shit that I think that I've always thought it was about. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I think it also goes to show why those external validations don't really make people feel these things, you know, because that's never what it's about. So you can get those things and still not feel at peace or still not feel like you've done what you needed to do, because it, at the end of the day, that's really not what makes you feel that way.
Dude, that's it though. Because how, like, not to toot my own horn, but toot, people will tell me like, you mean this to me, or you know, and it doesn't, for some reason, sometimes it like doesn't seep in the way that I really wish that it did. I really wish that I could like hold up the things, the really beautiful affirmations and, you know, flowers that people will like, you know, metaphysical flowers that people give me.
Wow. It's fancy frenzy.
You know, right? Different dimensions. but I don't like those things. There's still something happening there. And I think there's probably other shit that's unrelated to this conversation that's happening there. But I think that what you just spoke to, it's like some of, I think for me anyways, it has to start with me seeing the minutiae as job well done. That's amazing. Look at you. And I don't do that. And so then it makes it really hard when even I deeply desire for people to be, to affirm openly, outwardly, publicly, whatever, who I am, the things that I contribute, whatever it might be. But some of it kind of does feel like, and I know we always talk about this as like, ugh, this is a shitty paradigm or a shitty kind of construct of like, if you don't love yourself, how can other people love you? And I don't believe in that. I do think that like, if I can appreciate the little things that I do, the little shifts that I've made just for me and not for anybody else, but just in myself, then it might be more meaningful and easier to receive the praise that others give me. But I, you know, both things aren't happening. Like I'm not able to see those little things. And guess what? Nobody else is. If I don't affirm them, nobody else would. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's like decentering other people and really looking at myself, mm-hmm, and being grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is interesting because when I sat down to really channel my future self and see what messages were trying to come through, I had two that I wrote down to talk about today. But the first one, the one that came through first, was you're already doing it.
No shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow, like appreciate where you are. Yeah. You're doing it. Like you worked so hard to get here and you should enjoy this now because you're already here. Wow. So
can I just say for a second, we need that in sync GIF.
Yeah. We need to expand the medium because I feel like this,
you know,
this GIF is just such a huge part of the brand and people have no idea.
So true. Continue, please.
I just wanted to ask, why do you think it's so hard for us to feel that when obviously there's a part of us that knows it already?
To feel what?
That here we are, that we're doing it. You know, it's like this is a message that came through to us so quickly. So it's like we must know it. So why is it so hard for us to access that, you know, when we're just living our lives not doing this kind of exercise?
It reminds me of what you said to me last episode when you're like, I really wish that you could see yourself the way that I see you. I think that there's probably a whole host of other shit that I don't know, but it is really difficult to be like in it and to see your contribution to it. Very often do we get to step out and away and be peripheral. And I think that there's something about, when was the last time you had a proper vacation, Lala? Like when was the last time you could go and just be like removed enough so that you could have the time to like think about what you do? You're just doing it. You're always doing it. And I wonder if there's something about like rest and being away from that, being in the midst of it all, that makes it really challenging. That's one thing. Another thing I feel is like, maybe it's still having internalizations of perfectionism. Like, I'm going to assume that that's part of it. I'm going to have to assume that's part of it because we're living in and under and, you know, are beholden to white supremacy culture. And like, it's inherent in the way that we don't take fucking days off. So why? What? We also live in a very expensive ass city. So I want to say that too. It's not just like, oh, we just work because, no, it was context.
Yeah.
Right. But there's like, there's so much, and add on to the thing that we always talk about, which is like being racialized women, being racialized femmes, being like queer folk, like just all of those things. I think it's kind of like really, as much as we can affirm our identity on the collective, I think sometimes we might struggle a bit more to like affirm not just our identity, because we're more than our identities, but like, I think that maybe we could be better, you and me, but also others, not just us, at like affirming our essence, like our, like who I am and quote unquote, all the things that I've done, but also like not just done, but like I'm here and I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think it really comes back to like, you don't have the opportunity to pause and see yourself and to soak that in. Does that resonate for you at all? Or
yeah, it does. Because I think there is a kind of stepping back and stepping out that you have to do to answer this question,
yep,
or to channel the future self. And I do think that that is such a big part of it, because we don't spend enough time doing that. And even, you know, in meditation or something like that, where the whole point is to observe your thoughts, it's still not... For me, it's not like taking me outside of myself necessarily, or at least, you know, a lot of practices are different. But this, I think, it's not just taking me out of the moment or out of like the particular thought process. It kind of takes me out of myself and allows me to observe sort of, yeah, the entirety of myself in a different way. I also wonder if there's like a little bit of something to do with, okay, it's my future self, so in a way it's not me. And so maybe it gives me almost permission to view myself the way I would view somebody else, you know, instead of like how incredibly hard I am on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I get to be someone else for a second, I can like give myself the same sort of compassion and recognition that I give to other people who aren't me. Does that make sense?
That's really interesting. Do you mean to say that like, it's easier, because what I heard, what resonated with me, and I'm not sure if you said this, is like that it's easier to connect obviously with your past self, because it's like, I've experienced that. Whereas your future self is like, it's a lot more detached from who you actually are, because it's like, well, I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know how I'm going to change. And so maybe it's easier for you to, what's the thing that comes after that? Like, if you're more detached from your future self, then you're able to like appreciate the person that you would become into the future. Is that what you mean?
No, it's the reverse. It's like, it's not that I feel detached from my future self. It's that, or maybe I do. I guess saying like, the future self is not me yet. And so when I'm trying to come from the perspective of the future self, I can look at me in the present with less of a critical eye. I can look at myself in the present with the same sort of compassion that I give you and I give everybody else.
Yes.
Because it's like I've stopped being me for a second.
Damn.
If that makes sense.
That's bars. That's on a t-shirt. That's on the t-shirt.
Our merch line is
metaphysically. I've stopped being me for a second. 100% resonates. 100% resonates. And I think that's so astute because it's true. Like the more, if I think about it from my future self, I can have so much more compassion. I can maybe better see the dots, like the connection points, looking backwards, if I'm pretending to be a future version of myself, then I can see them for into the future. Like it's easier for me to be like, as future me talking to younger me being like, there, you know, you were in process, than it is for me to think from who I am right now and 10 years down the line that I'm in process. I feel like I'm lost. So I think that's such a powerful, what a powerful sort of access that you can cultivate more care for ourselves and more recognition for ourselves and more tenderness for ourselves, especially as people who I think we are quite critical and sometimes unkind to ourselves. You know, even the things that we don't talk about necessarily on the podcast together, I think there's lots of similarities in the ways that I think we see ourselves, if that makes sense.
I think so. And, you know, you've brought up now perfectionism and that we're talking about that harshness. And that was the second message that came through. It was my future self saying, like, relax and experiment.
Girl.
Like, make yes. your mistakes. It's okay. You've got this. And you can trust yourself to make the best of any situation. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, my God. Deeply. So yeah. deeply. Because if they're attached, the first one that you said in this one, if you know that you're in process and you can relax, if you know that you're in process and that you've already been doing it and you're doing it right now, that takes the edge off of hyper criticality and not believing that you have done or what are you doing, and you're kind of in scramble. That's how I feel anyways. I can relax if I believe that I have done it or I'm doing it or I'm in process.
Mm-hmm.
It deeply resonates for me. That's weird.
Yeah. I think part of the reason why we can get these types of messages from our future selves, at least for me, is to channel my future self. It's like I am channeling a part of me that knows that I survive. You know, it's like I'm channeling this idea that there is a future version of me, and there's a future version of me that's like going to look back and have something loving to say.
Yeah.
And if that is true, then there's so much relief to that for me. I think about when I was younger and I was really struggling with the worst of the health anxiety that became a part of my PTSD symptoms. And it was so bad that I really felt like I could die. Like each night I thought I was going to die that night. And I remember just like wishing with everything I had that I could somehow know that I was going to be alive 6 months from then, you know, just so that I'm like, at least for the next, you know, 6 months, I could relax and know that I wasn't going to die that night. And for me, I think it channels something similar. It's like a part of me that is like, you know, everything is going to be okay. Everything is okay. You know, even if I think, oh, what would 10 years from now, what would that version of me want me to know? Even if I'm not going to survive for 10 years, that's okay. You know, everything is still okay right now. And I think that is what it doesn't, you know, whatever the future is, that is something that I think I would always want myself to know, is that everything is okay right now, even if there's things that are very painful right now, even if there's things that feel really hard right now, even if I feel really unsure and whatever else, ultimately I'm still okay.
Wow. It's so interesting how we've had such parallel experiences with things.
Mm-hmm. In such different ways.
In such a different way.
Yeah.
That the way you just described going to bed and being like, what if I died tonight? That has been me for... There was a period of time, I think I was doing my master's and I was living alone in Victoria and I was like, wow, like that was a constant fear for me. And I don't know why that was something that I was consistently fixated on, mm-hmm. And occasionally even now I'll have those like same, I wouldn't call them flashbacks, but the same kind of sensation or the same feeling of like, oh my God, what if I died in my sleep? That was always the thing. What if I died in my sleep and nobody knew? And it got much better for me when I would tell Nolan that that was what I was feeling. So that when I was feeling that way, he could be like, you're fine. It's fine. You felt this like this before and you were fine. Mm-hmm. That is an affirmation, I think. It seems like it's really mundane, but I think that there's a lot of power in mundane shit to like hold on to, like, oh, I was fine. It was okay. Like, mm-hmm. It's gonna be okay. It is okay. Even if you're tricking yourself, goddamn, like sometimes it doesn't feel like it's okay, to your point when you're like, there's some really painful things that you're actually also navigating, right? And maybe it doesn't feel fine, but there's a lot of hope associated with knowing that you're going to be okay and knowing that you currently are okay, despite things feeling difficult, is just so much more grounded in reality. Because I think sometimes for myself, and I don't know if this resonates for you at all, it's like, not that I can make mountains out of molehills, but I'm always fixated and curious and concerned really about like, is this okay? Am I doing okay? Is this wrong? Am I doing this wrong? Am I wrong? Like, mm-hmm. That's always the thing. And so instead of that, if I could hold on to, you're okay and you're doing okay and things are okay. Girl, how much time would I spend in pursuit of joy? And, you know, I could just create so much more space and spaciousness in my life if I really believed that I'm okay and I'm going to be okay. And it's hard. And I was going to ask you before when you said that you didn't believe that for a while, or you didn't know that to be true, that you were going to be okay. Would younger you, I know we're talking about future us, but even, you know, 5 years ago, did younger you have a sense of you into the future? You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine the future as a construct that was like materially going to happen to you? Or was it something that felt so fucking far removed that it was like, it feels like it's space-time continuum shit, just like, who the fuck knows, you know?
Yeah, no, when I, in that period that I was talking about where I felt so afraid that I was going to die, I definitely did not have any concept of future me at all. Yeah, I really wanted to be alive past like 21, but I really didn't, I really felt like I didn't think I would be. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, I think that's less true. I have more of a sense of a future self. I still struggle with the sort of where do you want to be in 5 years or 10 years kind of thing, because I think there's such a huge part of me that's like, God, anything could happen in that amount of time. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea. I hope I'm just like alive and relatively able, considering I'm already disabled. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe that's an okay thing. I think sometimes it's like, it's really the capitalist imagination that I have a hard time with. Like, where do I want my career to be in 5 or 10 years? I have a harder time with. I think this kind of thing of channeling my future self feels really oddly available to me. Like the messages come through quite quickly if I really sit and ask myself those questions. And I feel like somehow, you know, isn't it wild? Like we have our younger selves, we have our present selves, we have our future selves. And there's so many, we could break ourselves down into so many different, you know, types of parts. And they feel so separate. But it's so interesting that they're all in there somehow, right? That this future self that feels very difficult to access most of the time, but if I just sit down and ask myself a question and wait 5 seconds,
like literally,
this like beautiful really message comes through. Isn't it just, I just feel kind of amazed by the fact that those parts of us exist within ourselves.
I'm thinking of those little dolls that have a doll within the doll within the doll. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking about. It's like that our future, and I don't think I've ever consciously considered the fact that my future self is me now. And I'm my future self because I'll have those memories. Like she will be equally who I am now as I am who I am now. As opposed to like she's a stranger. She's a roll of the dice. She's a mystery. It's like, yeah, things could change. My career could change. And I really appreciate you mentioning that. So much of the brain space around future self, sometimes it just feels like it's always about career or work or like how I'm going to be spending my time and less about like, how am I going to feel about myself? What kinds of relationships am I going to have? What kinds of experiences would I want to have at that? You know what I mean? Like that stuff feels foreign. And I wonder if I were to ask myself if that stuff feels foreign now in my present self, I think it also does as well. Like I think I'm maybe better at that and or more capable of saying like, I want relationships that feel reciprocal. But then I have to ask myself if I'm actually recognizing the relationships that are reciprocal now. Like it's sort of like when you say that to yourself and you can name like, this is what I want in my relationships, me, Nick at 30 years old. I'm like, do I even take stock of that? Like, how do I, and I think that's why like answering the question of what do you want your future self to tell you? At first it felt like really difficult, but you're right. Like once you wait like 5 seconds and you really think about it, it does come so naturally. It's because we do know. We just feel disconnected to her, who she is, which is interesting.
Yeah. And there is in DBT, which is a style of therapy, they talk about the wise mind. And so there is the emotion mind, which is just like just the pure primal, you know, emotions. And then I think, do they call it the rational mind? That's just like pure intellect if it was completely divorced from emotion. And it's the idea that wise mind is sort of the combination of both.
Gotcha.
I think there's probably also a lot of spiritual understandings of wise mind. I feel like what DBT calls wise mind, a lot of people would call God.
Okay.
And just like their relationship within themselves with God or spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because an exercise that you can do with wise mind or with, you know, this like spiritual part of yourself, however you're looking at it, is asking a question that you want to have answered and asking it within yourself, but really in the way that you would ask another person. Like you don't ask the question and then try to formulate, you know, the most logical answer or the answer that feels right. It's like you ask and wait. And see if something naturally arises. And I think for me, that's how I did this. I sort of thought about a future self, but I didn't really have any kind of image of her. And then I asked the question, what does my future self want me to know? And I just waited. And it came up. Did you have a similar kind of feeling, or where did you feel like it came from?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's that resonates, and it was a similar experience for me. It was like waiting, but when you were describing that, it made me think of, I've recently been really consciously trying to imagine what my ancestors were like, you know, what they experienced. And I am just beginning sort of my own journey of reconnecting with veneration of ancestors, and making altars and just waiting. And part of that's involved having questions that I want to ask to my ancestors and their spirits and their essence. And it's so interesting. It's similar to what you just described. It's like asking a question and having a question in mind and thinking about that before I go to bed, like spending time sort of like existing in that question with the lights off, and then like just welcoming that answer in a dream.
Wow.
And really receiving information and just being like, okay. Like if I ask a question and I like align myself to being like susceptible to that answer, and I trust that what information I'm getting is the clues and the tips, and that's all part of it. It's not necessarily the logic, because I think that there's something when we have our logical brains only engaged. And I know we talked about this before. It's like logic cares about what makes sense. And so much of like the wonder of both of our lives have been like, what the fuck, girl, that didn't make no damn sense. But it, but it worked. And some of it was very sensible and was linear and made sense. And it also worked, or it didn't even. And so there's something about like the connection that I want to make between what this is, you know, asking our future selves the question and waiting and asking her, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're thinking like, as I'm trying to like look back into my ancestry and like ask these questions of who I'm supposed to be, and then I'm asking my future self, I'm asking the same spirit. It's the same thing. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I appreciate you bringing that in, because I think there's a lot of different ways to connect to this. And so for people who, you know, it connects or resonates the most when they think of it in the DBT way, that this is just a way of sort of asking a combination of, you know, your emotions and intuition and your brain, your logical brain, then that's great. And for people who do feel this connection with ancestors or with God or with spirit, or I feel like maybe people think that I'm being totally fictional and metaphorical when I say like time travel. And I'm not saying that I 100% think that we're actually time traveling and this is what it is. But I feel very open to not knowing. To me, in a way, I do mean that literally, and I'm okay with not being able to fully explain that. I'm not 100% sure when my future self gives me these messages. Is that just a really wise part of myself that exists now? I don't know. And I'm okay with not knowing that. And I think in a way, for me at least, it feels more powerful to not know the answer to that question.
Yeah, because so you know the answer to the question. Now what? You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes there's, for me anyways, I want the logic because it feels like I have control, but it's just information. It doesn't make it meaningful necessarily. And I think that there's actually a lot of meaning in what you described to me as surrendering to the fact that we're never going to have the absolute answers. And in fact, if we start to believe and almost delude ourselves that like we can have the absolute answers of like who we're going to be, I think we're in a bit of trouble, because then we're not able, I think, to use the source of information that is like intuition and all the things that don't make sense and all the things that might seem illogical or might seem out of step, with the sense of confidence of knowing like this is exactly how this is all going to play out or whatever. I think it distances us from seeking and even valuing the information that comes up in our bodies as we experience life, right? I'm not saying right, because I want you to necessarily agree with me, but like that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I do agree with you.
It definitely great. Resonates. Excellent.
Yeah. So the last official question that I want to ask you, I'm not promising there won't be sub questions.
Oh, girl.
As we discuss
you
do it, this. What do you think would be different if you could stay in touch or in closer touch with the future version of yourself?
Damn. I think that I would see myself as more wise than I currently do. Because when you said, is that future me or is that like the wise parts of myself? That's, it's got to be some wise parts of me that I don't, you know, I still don't see, like there's parts of me that definitely still see myself as like, oh, I'm a 16-year-old. Like, and, you know, I still feel like I'm trapped in this little me in me and she's there. And I never saw her as wise. And sometimes I don't see myself as wise or see myself as knowing or see myself as right, even when I know I'd be knowing shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that it would make me just be a bit more trusting of myself, a bit more trusting of like, okay, you got this. Like, you don't need to flail. And not because I'm quote unquote confident. That's not what this is about. It's not about like a cool, calm and collected thing. It's more just like what you said, you're going to be okay and you are okay. That's, I don't think that, I think that's just like a, that's like a presence of something that's not, I just wanted to make sure that I divorced that from confidence because I think that confidence can feel like people perceive me as confident and I'm like, I don't feel that way. You know what I mean?
Well, because what I'm hearing is that it's not about confidence as in I know the answers. Mm-hmm. It's about trusting yourself as in I have some of the answers. There are many answers I don't have, but I trust that I can handle whatever comes.
Yeah, it's that. It's really that. It's definitely that. How about you?
You know, I think there would be... yeah, like a sense of relief because I think there would be more of that sense of trust of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, what really came up for me is we were talking last week about how I struggle to love and appreciate and like my younger self. And it occurs to me that I think the answer to that is in my future self. You know, I'm thinking about all of these ways that I want to access therapeutic self-love. You know, I'm like looking for how I can really connect with and appreciate and see the sameness, you know, between my younger self and who I am now. And there's been such a disconnect that that's such a struggle. And yeah, I feel like my future self is the one that has the ability to do that. To view all of the parts of me with genuine love and appreciation and positive regard. So I think a lot of the sense of peace that I've been looking for that I've expressed over various different episodes, I think I really feel that the most when I connect with my future self.
It just like opens up so much more capacity to love and appreciate who you are and who you've been.
Yeah.
Because you, in your future self, you'd be like, that's me. I did all that. Yeah. That was, you know, like I would imagine future you would be deeply appreciative of younger you in ways that you might not have access to now because there's so much more that's happened in between that gives you that affirmation that like who you were then has been enough and keeps on being enough. And in 2 years it's going to be enough. And then in 10 years it's going to be enough. And so she's going to know that. It's harder for us because shit is so close. Like I don't know how you feel about like time heals all things or whatever, or like that all things are healed by time. But I certainly believe that like time can give us that perspective of, yeah, just like appreciation, a sense of like really valuing, you know, you ever look back at like those little like quirky parts of yourself and you're like, wow, I'm still like, it shows up like this now. And then it was like something that, you know, maybe felt a little bit more minute, but now it's like, damn, that's a whole part of my personality. Like I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't think that time heals all. I think it's what you do with that time, but I think time affords a different perspective, exactly like what you're saying. And it's, you know, it's funny because when I channeled these messages for my future self, and then I asked myself, okay, so what would I have to know in order to put those messages into practice? You know, sort of like how we talked about with our younger selves, like, this is what I would want my younger self to know, but what would have to change in the life and the world of my younger self in order for her to actually like get that message? You know, so asking that same question, what would I now have to know to put the messages for my future self into practice? What came up for me was some of these things you just brought up. Like, I would have to know that I'm enough. I would have to know that there's nothing wrong with me, that I am worthy, and that therefore it's safe for me to just relax and be vulnerable and be who I am. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting, because it's all the things I'm trying to get my younger self to believe.
Dude, wild. Yeah.
It all comes full circle. So it's kind of amazing in doing this practice how I can conceptualize and feel my younger self and my future self as being like different entities, and how helpful that is, and how at the same time I can also feel and grasp how these are all me. It's all one. It's all connected, and how therapeutic that is.
I haven't gone to therapy in a few weeks. I just want to say thank you. Because it is really nice. I had a headache all day, and sometimes sitting, you know, talking to you via screen is not, you know, I'd rather talk to you in person, but this feels really generative, and it's like opening up just new pathways in my brain, literally, about like, how do I basically like plant seeds to tell myself that I'm the shit, and how do I get there, like, you know, it's like expeditiously, because yeah, all of this is like so directly applicable to things that I continuously am tussling with. And I don't like to tussle, least of all with like things that feel like inner, you know, shadows or demons or any of those things. So this has just been really not just like illuminating, but empowering for me. So thank you so much.
It's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community, and we cannot do this without you.